Hey, this is Chris from the Weedsman Podcast, Unregimented, and I'm the founder of Christopher Media, and I have a call to action for all of you Christopher Media listeners. Rob St. Mary, you may know him from the Projection Booth Podcast. Well, he's written himself a book called Re-Entry, The Orbit Anthology. This book chronicles 35 years of Detroit's rise to cultural prominence through the pages of Orbit, White Noise, and Fun magazines. You can help by going to patronicity.com or orbitbookdetroit.com and donating whatever you can to help make this book possible. Your tax-deductible support will help create a lasting document to over 35 years of vital Detroit cultural history as told through Orbit, Fun, and White Noise magazines. This deluxe illustrated edition will not only feature reprints of popular articles, but also tell the behind-the-scenes stories of how these landmark magazines covered Detroit's music, film, art, food, and creative scene like no one else dared and with a healthy dose of humor. Please give whatever you can to make this landmark publication possible, and make sure to check out the Projection Booth Podcast and all of the other great shows at ChristopherMedia.net. I thank you for listening, and I thank all of you for the support.
Christopher Media. Eminem. Question everything.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. That's my purse.
I don't know you.
You don't know. You're the first person that's ever got that. I said it all the time, and Brianna's like, what?
King of the Hill references.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
You won't find those on any other podcast.
Eminem, Question Everything, on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Say it one more time. If you say it one more time, you might rip
it. It's not how you call him.
Rob St. Mary.
Ow.
I'm sorry.
It's like we're calling England.
Hello, sexies.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From AsmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now...
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed you do.
I do.
Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Aaron.
It's the Weedsman Podcast. This is 24?
24.
Deuce 4.
Deuce Quad.
Yeah. And, well, I guess we'll just write... Get right underway here.
Yep.
Gotta... So how y'all doing?
Hello. Good.
How's the campaign going?
Campaign is stalled. I haven't received a donation in 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm at 2,000, a little over 2,000. So that's a good thing.
It's a good start, yeah.
It's a good start. So we'll just keep on building.
I guess we should say we are talking to Rob St. Mary from the Projection Booth.
Yes, now a proud member of the Christopher Media family, which is second only to the Manson family in terms of its being notarized and crazy. So it's a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Give us some time. We'll beat the Manson family. Yes.
Yeah, we're working on it.
There you go.
Yeah,
damn hippies.
Regular listeners will know Rob from his segment on our podcast here called... Rewind this and just smoke to it.
I always forget the just.
That's right. Well, if you want to call it just rewind this, that's fine. I let Danny Brown tell you the rest.
Nice.
So I'm glad you guys were digging it. I was listening to the last episode for me, which was the one, There Goes the Neighborhood, which I had to laugh at the use of the body count. Chris knows me very well.
Yeah, but you get a kick out of that.
And then the Poultrygeist. So, hope you guys liked my little review of Poultrygeist. So, it's kind of fun.
Well, yes, classic.
What we were talking about, just to recap, Rob has wrote himself a book. It is called Reentry, The Orbit Anthology. It is a big local touchstone here, I guess you could say, as far as culture goes, the Detroit area. Rob cataloged. It ended up. It started out as one paper, and it turned into three, correct?
Yeah, because I didn't realize the history. The folks who did Orbit, which was around 90 to 99 in Detroit, and was the sort of arts, culture, humor alternative to the regular all-weekly in Detroit, which is the Metro Times, which is obviously had more political stuff in it. It came out of two earlier papers, one which was Fun, which was a monthly that was around from 86 to 90. And from my research, is the first free humor magazine in America. It predates The Onion by 2 years. And then all of it starts in the Detroit punk rock scene circa 1978, with a magazine called White Noise, which was a local punk rag, and also interviewed and did features on well-known artists who came to town, such as Ramones, Devo, Patti Smith, a lot of Cleveland stuff in there, because obviously Cleveland's pretty close to Detroit, so you have like the Dead Boys and the Cramps and stuff like that. So and that lasted for 6 issues over 2 years. So basically, I originally went in because I was a big fan of Orbit and read it in high school, and then realized that there was much more to the story. So the book contains reprints and history of the three different magazines and how they all kind of link together. And you know, what's funny is you were talking about how it's mostly a Detroit thing. There actually was a foreign version of Orbit for a little while.
What?
Most people don't know this.
A foreign version.
Was it in Windsor?
No. Well, the East of Windsor section, but actually it was Oxford, England.
Really?
Yeah. There was a guy who was on the sales staff, and we talk about this in the book, who moved to Michigan, and he was selling ads for Orbit, and then decided to go back home to England and looked around at what was going on with the local papers in Oxford, which, of course, is a college town.
Yeah.
And decided to import all of this, you know, material from Detroit and basically fortify it with local reporting in Oxford, and created basically what was called Orbit UK, which was around for about 4 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, most people don't know that.
Well, it's probably one of the multitude of things that you uncovered while doing it. How long did all this take you?
3.5 years. Yeah, and I'm still not done.
Yeah, I know. Because now the whole press thing starts, you know, has been... I heard you on the radio the other day, Aaron.
Yeah, on WDET.
Yeah, my old stomping grounds. My good friend Travis Wright had us on the Culture City show, Jerry and I.
Yep.
And it was a good time. The other thing that I don't think most people realize with Orbit 2 is it was innovative in terms of the internet, which obviously, if you're listening to the show, that's where you're getting it. Orbit beat all the other newspapers, including the Free Press and the News, to having a website. They were the first magazine or press outlet in Detroit to have a website.
No kidding.
And that was in early 95, which beats Google.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah. So they were early in, but you can't find it anymore. It's all gone. You know, basically all that early internet stuff has kind of been scrubbed.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, what about you? Let's get some information on the campaign. Where can they go if people are interested in donating and seeing what their options are?
Yeah, there's kind of two ways to do it. One is you can go to Orbit Book Detroit, which is my book site, and there's a link there, and you can click through and give. The other is Patronicity, which I loved your use of synchronicity on that episode. Yeah. That was kind of funny. So it's Patron, P-A-T-R-O-N-I, City, Patronicity, / Orbit Book. And there you'll find everything you need to know. There's a campaign video featuring me if you actually want to know what I look like. Sorry. sort of tells you why we're funding it, what we're looking for. And this is one of those all or nothing campaigns, which means right. that every dollar matters. So literally there is a $1, you know, gift level. There's $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $60, $100, $120, and then it goes up to $20,000. So if, you know, if anyone wants to cut me a check for $20,000, feel free.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, get right on that.
Oh, yeah?
But I know that most of the folks, I figure, are going to want to come in at $60 and get the book, and maybe at $120 and get the book and the T-shirt. There also is a party option at $100 for the book and the party. And I think that pretty soon, and I'll let you guys know this right now, that pretty much, I think if you give at the level of 60 and above, everyone at that level is going to end up invited to the party. I think it's just what's going to happen, because I've had a lot of people go, well, I want to give you this, but I really want to go to the party. And yeah. I don't think it's going to be that difficult to kind of offset that. But it's, you know, it's been good so far. We've raised over $2,000 in the first about 4 days, and still building it. So every dollar counts, and it's all or nothing between now and November 21st.
Well, we'll definitely be pushing for you the whole way. We're going to feature
it
on our podcast.
Yeah, people will be sick of hearing about me talking about it. I'll tell you that one.
Well, I've seen all of the tweets, and I thank you so much for that, because that's getting some traction. I don't know if people are coming in through the tweets, but they're definitely, it's in their face, so that's nice.
Yeah, that's how we got to do it.
But thanks so much for having me on again and pushing it and being big fans of it. And like, I just ask everyone who's out there pushing it, if you send a tweet on it or you share it or something like that because you think it's cool, I'm glad you think it's cool, but at least give me a dollar, you know?
Rob
to prove that you really think it's cool.
People should empty out their wallets into this, because here's why. How many times have you been reading a book or hearing a song or seeing a show on TV and go, how the fuck did this get made? This is a piece of shit. Well, you know what? Here's something that should get made. Here's something that should... here's your chance to make something happen that should be out there in the cultural landscape, so to speak, rather than all of the garbage that we are forced to.
Yeah, and also this is going to be a nice, big, beautiful coffee table book, right? That's what we're... So for $60, that's really a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to get not only a beautiful piece of art, but something that documents a piece of Detroit history.
Yeah, and you know, the way I look at it too is the why I went with Patronicity, and I explained this in the video, is a couple of reasons. One is, unlike Kickstarter, it doesn't allow you to do nonprofit. It doesn't allow you to give tax incentives. So when you give at the $60 level or any level, you'll actually get a tax write-off. So we're coming into the end of the year, and I know some folks are always looking for, what can I do to give to charity and, you know, get a little something back. So you get the book, you get a tax write-off. And like I was saying, in terms of the three different magazines, you really get an overview of Detroit over like the last 30, 35 years of cultural history.
Yeah.
All the way from the punk scene to the mid-80s and what was going on there. You see like the early days of techno. You see bands such as the Gorries and the Laughing Hyenas. You get into Orbit. You have, you know, the early days of Kid Rock and ICP and, you know, the White Stripes, all kinds of stuff that's in this. And if you look out even further, and Jerry's kind of like, well, you know, he's like, I don't like to highlight that much because it's kind of stupid. But, you know, for us kids who grew up and saw Pulp Fiction 20 years ago and it blew our minds, you know, the fact that Quentin Tarantino wears an Orbit shirt in Pulp Fiction is fucking cool. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And, you know, to understand the reason why he does is all in the book. So it's all there. And like I ask is just, you know, give whatever you can. You know, you don't have to give $20,000, Rob. I know you have it. You're just sitting on it.
You know, too well.
Patronicity.com/orbitbook.
All right. Rob St. Mary from the Projection Booth Podcast here on ChristopherMedia.net every Tuesday.
Thanks again, Rob. We'll be checking in with you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you, gents.
All right, Rob. All right. Just like that.
He knows about my money.
It's Denver feed. You told us. You told everybody.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing that.
All right. Go give Rob your money, people.
Do it now.
Come on. They're making more Nickelback albums. We can at least try to put this out there to offset.
Yeah, put money towards something good.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium.
Rewind this and just smoke to it.
Welcome to Rewind This and Just Smoke to It. I'm your reviewer, Rob, from the Projection Booth Podcast. You know, I just couldn't get enough of Halloween, so let's dig into another horror flick this week, just in time for the 150th anniversary of the ending of the Civil War. I'm talking about 2000 Maniacs.
You're all invited to a centennial celebration.
What they were celebrating wasn't important, and it sounded like a heap of fun until 2,000 maniacs, crazed for carnage, started bathing an entire town in pulsing human blood.
This 1964 film from Herschel Gordon Lewis tells the tale of a couple that heads to a small southern town that's celebrating the 100th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, and a lot of northerners have been invited as special guests. Oh, and that very special southern hospitality is on tap. So, of course, there's a feast, but also fun carnival games, such as let's put you in a barrel full of nails and roll you down a hill, or how about we crush you with a big giant rock and more, because, as the title song proudly proclaims,
yee-haw! Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
But as the 2000 Maniacs goes on, we start to realize that the town of Crazies might not be all that you think it is. Quite an interesting little twist, especially for this 1964 low-budget horror film. The 2000 Maniacs was remade a few years ago as 2001 Maniacs, featuring Mr. Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund. The remake isn't bad, but it sort of fits into that over-the-top modern gore and horror films you see nowadays. But the original 2000 Maniacs is a lot of fun and is a true classic of low-budget regional horror film. So it's my pick this week for Rewind This and Just Smoke to It. And until next week, I'm Rob from the Projection Booth. You can find out more about my usual show at projection-booth.com. And if you have suggestions for films that I should review, you can tweet them at the show here. That's at TheWeedsman420. And as Chris, Rob, and Aaron say, stay high.
You guys like Batman?
What?
Sorry, I was thinking about Gibraltar when I saw your shirt. You guys like Batman? No.
Oh, man. Yeah, we had kind of a lazy day today. Actually, Rob and I did. I don't know what your day was like, Chris, but ours was pretty lazy.
Once I tell you what my day was, they'd be like, oh, you're also a lazy piece of shit as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't... I mean, the days that I have off, I usually have my kids, which is nice and relaxing, but it's also, you know, it's not just fully tuning out, obviously.
Right.
And you got to have those days every once in a while where you're just like, I don't want to have any responsibilities, even though I did clean some today. But, you know, I just wanted to have a nice, relaxing day to myself.
Yeah, those are always good to have.
And then Rob hit me up with a great idea of Mexican food.
Mexican food and Trade Center.
Like yesterday, I didn't put on pants till like at least 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was a nice day.
Yeah.
Can't beat those days.
I had some good Mexican food and then hit up Gibraltar Trade Center, which for those of you who don't know, it's like a every weekend flea market.
Yep.
Swap meat. Swap. Might be known as in other parts of the country.
It's not really a swap. That's why I asked Rob earlier if he'd ever actually tried to barter with anybody there. Because I've never seen any actual trade going on,
yeah,
per se.
I don't see any trading, you know, with pelts or, you know.
Is it a place to buy? Well, I always look at the used comic books they had there, that they have there. I picked up some more missing issues of New Mutants for my collection.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
They never have a shortage of just interesting stuff to look at there.
Yeah. They had... But Roy Thomas was at another booth. He's a longtime writer for the Avengers and the X-Men, even the Hulk, Conan the Barbarian. We didn't see him, but there's two guys that were very excited about having somebody looking at their wares.
Yep.
And they were really pushing that shit hard, weren't they?
Oh, hell yeah. They wanted you to buy some. They wanted us to buy
They thought
something.
That we had money.
Yeah. We must have had a big dollar sign above our head.
Besides that, though, it's like a lot of there's a lot of head shops in there.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of you can buy like airsoft guns and RC cars and fake furs and knockoff purses,
cheap jewelry.
That's all.
Crappy food.
Yeah, knockoff headphones are a big one. That's where you got the Reitz by Ray and that PCP station.
The PCP station. Yeah.
Your bong that said roar,
roar,
roar.
So, yeah, it was a pretty relaxing day.
It was
hit up the head shop.
Yep.
A couple of them, actually. Just kind of farted around.
My buddy Alan over there at the smoke shop helped me out. Got a new ash catcher.
Alan always hooks you up.
Yep. Takes care of us.
I still don't understand why you need an ash catcher. But it's because you're so meticulous about your bong, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
you've been keeping that thing, like, sparkling clean lately.
Yeah, I actually just cleaned it today.
Yeah. So
and don't do it with like cuts on your hand. It hurts so bad.
It's just to keep you from getting that dark water.
That's right.
Right?
Don't want that stinky water. Mm-hmm. Kills the flavor of the hit, I think.
Right. So it doesn't gunk up your bowl as much. But then don't you have to eventually, like, what do you replace the ash catcher? Or do you, is there a way to clean that out?
Oh, you can clean that one out too. Yeah. Just like the bowl.
Put that 420 liquid in there and shake it up.
Yep, pretty much. It's nice, you know, you can mess around and build different, you know, situations, or you get a different hit.
I only clean my pieces as needed.
Ah.
You know, when they don't smoke anymore.
Right. Is it,
or in this case, in this house, when they fall and break in half.
Yep.
That too.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of good pieces
go
bye-bye.
A horrible track record with glass in this house.
Yeah. We should have a memorial wall down here.
I saw that on Reddit. Some guy had a treasure box of all his like dead pieces that he had. Mm. It was pretty funny.
Nice.
I don't know what you'd use them for, but I'm sure you probably could find a use.
Melt them down and create a new one.
There you go.
If you knew how to blow glass.
Right. That's a big thing.
What about, Chris, your day?
What'd you do? This is perfect music for your day.
You got up, listened to some Blondie.
Yeah.
Set the mood for the day.
Yep.
Actually, I woke up today and I had two things on my agenda.
What were those?
To get some donuts from the cider mill and some cider and to hit up the dispensary.
Nice. Yeah.
The end. 2-point checklist.
Did you achieve both?
Within 2 hours.
Oh, all right.
Nice.
I had a plan.
You had an efficient day off.
Yeah, you got your business taken care of. The cider mill was open till 7. The dispensary was open till 8. I was like, all right, I need to be... This is going to be reality today. I got to be on the road by 4. If I'm not on the road by 4, and I think I left like 4:30. But, whatever.
4:20, maybe?
4:20-ish.
Right after you smoked?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I did hit the...
4:29?
I do have my alarm set on the weekends to go off at 4:19.
Oh, nice.
It was a great... Like fall day, like the leaves had come down, so there's leaves all over the place. It was a little bit chilly, but still a nice day.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You can get away without a jacket. That cider mill must have just been calling you.
Oh yeah,
it was nice that it was busy because no one noticed single high guy just there to get donuts and cider.
Right.
I should have went and grabbed one of my nephews. Yeah, my sister. Hey, need one of your kids. Why? So don't look weird at the cider mill.
You don't have to have kids with you to go to the cider mill. It's not like Chuck E. Cheese.
I think Chuck E. Cheese is definitely on those list of places to you cannot go without a child.
Yeah, you can't. No, you cannot go in there. You have to be accompanied by a child.
Oh, really? Wow.
Or attending some child's birthday party.
Same policy as Michael Jackson's house. But yeah, man, those donuts.
You must be this short to ride this ride.
Oh.
Ooh, I'm trying to talk about donuts, and he's talking about touching wieners.
Dongers. I did not say anything of the like.
But I ate like half a dozen of those donuts on the way home.
I think
at this point, I may have almost cleared a dozen by this point in the night.
Damn. Every cider mill make donuts?
If they don't, they're stupid.
This is not just a Michigan thing.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Because, my lady friend in Rhode Island, I was talking about the cider mills. She's like, what? Not like, they have them, but it's not like a big thing like it is here.
Yeah.
I said, well, I come from a state that produces a good portion of the country's apples.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Cider mill is kind of a big deal.
Right.
Around here.
What's their big thing? Like cranberries? Like
seafood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say go to the shrimp market.
Yep.
That's get some shrimp donuts.
Shrimp donuts.
Shrimp donuts. You can now listen to a new episode of the Christopher Media Show every day of the week. Sundays, you got Eminem questioning everything. Monday, unregimented. Tuesday, the bonus nugget. It's basically all the extra, the bullshit we stack it high on Tuesdays for you. From, high people ramble.
Yep.
But, we get a little bit of extra for you. And rather than not releasing it, we put it out for you. We call it the bonus nugget.
It's that stash to get you through to the weekend.
And they're fairly popular. I think it's because it's not an hour.
I dig it.
But, yeah, check them out. We got the projection booth. New Kids on the Block to us. They've been around a lot longer than us.
Yeah, so glad to have them on board.
Yes. Remember, rewind this and just smoke to it. Aha!
Yep.
I said it right. And also, patronicity.com/orbitbook.
Check it out.
Give Rob all of your money. Take it out of your wallet and just give it to Rob. Get this book made.
$60. Get a sweet book. Get it done. Support a great guy.
Yes. And great book.
And a great book.
A great show on a great network.
Yeah. We're all great.
Yes. And if we're lucky on a Tuesday, too, we'll get a Todd Zill X-Pod when he gets around to it. Wednesdays, we got the Oddcast with Jenna and John. Thursdays, second dose of Unregimented. Fridays, boom.
Boom.
Big Kahuna.
The weekend.
The one, the only. the Weedsman podcast. Saturdays, you got the captain's table.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye, captain.
You can subscribe to all of these shows for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. If you like what we do and you would like to support us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net.
Love. You know what we're not doing on a show that's called the Weedsman Podcast?
I know.
What?
We need to smoke. I need to.
Weren't we smoking already?
I thought we had passed around. We had a passive.
Yeah, we had like a passive one round.
Rob calling us out.
Well, there's something in this bong still.
Oh, nice.
I got something in my front bong for you.
What was that name that you wanted me to...
What's in my bong?
Oh, I mean, we got Hawaiian Snow.
We already talked about that.
From the previous one. We got Dumpster from the previous show.
We already talked about that.
But we got Greatest Hits. We got OG Kush.
We already talked about that.
Yep.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 shows ago.
So we're good.
I say we
Cali strains to report.
Nothing to report.
Say Cali Kush was last show. I just went and I got oldie what a goodie. OG Kush.
Have you guys kept up with the Ferguson story? This is one of those stories that's probably just been beat to death like Ebola, and you just tune out after a while.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple different things.
But they eventually got the autopsy report back, which actually found that Michael Brown was shot while still inside the vehicle.
Oh,
interestingly enough, that's drastically different than the cop story that he was telling.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Because he said that Michael Brown exited the vehicle and started shooting at the cop, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We won't get into that on this podcast.
Right.
But there is something that relates to ours here. Remember the group SAM or Project SAM, as it sometimes goes by? This is the Smart Approaches to Marijuana. This is the group that said that we shouldn't make the same mistake with pot that we did with cigarettes. And they put on their Facebook page, in reference to Michael Brown's autopsy report, they said they found marijuana in the system. And they're saying that in their post that the death of Michael Brown should serve as a tragic reminder that marijuana is not harmless.
Oh, my God. Really?
So what part, that's the question.
I have no words. And this is bad because this is a talk show.
It's just, you know, stupidity at its finest.
It's looking for anything. It's what's grasping at straws.
Yep.
But let's let them expand on this for a second here, though, because they also posted a link to an article by Dr. Christian Thurstone, member of the organization's Science Advisory Board. He says, consumption often leads to impairment that is very difficult for the public to measure, also making it tough for the public to hold users accountable for the harm they've caused others. Marijuana users also could be vulnerable to aggression and attacks while under the drug's influence. So he's saying that it's possible that the weed made Michael Brown aggressive, and that aggressive attitude
that happens.
Caused him to be shot by the...
Wow.
You hear about bullshit. All them stoners always getting stoned and getting in fights.
The insanity, the lack of logic to those statements, and the insensitivity of those statements is just ridiculous.
It's people looking for another reason.
Yep.
I mean, clearly, they're just trying to, like, bandwagon on news. If there was a story, I'm surprised they're not, finding some story that links weed use to contracting Ebola.
Right.
Or Ebola.
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 It's coming. It's next.
Yeah.
Marijuana gives you Ebola. It doesn't treat it. It gives it to you.
And I went further in. Like, I went on a hole, down a rabbit hole of weird information on my research. Well, because I went to, I was looking for the article,
Ebola,
the link to the article on Sam's website, and they had a quote from David Froom, who's he's a columnist for the Daily Beast, and he's a conservative guy. If you ever watch Bill Maher's show, he shows up a lot on there. The quote that they posted on their site was, "A world of legal drugs will be a world in which the fates of the top one-third of Americans and the lower two-thirds will diverge even more than they already do. We have opened more roads to self-harm. Must we now open another?" So,
wow.
I'm kind of lost on why he thinks that this is a big class thing.
Right.
The legalization of weed being a class war, when everything that we've found seems to be to the contrary. It's keeping it illegal that is really making it a class warfare thing.
Right.
When we talked about the drug war in general and how it's used to...
For racial profiling.
Yeah, it's used for racial profiling.
Yeah.
It's another thing to add to the criminal element in the lower class.
I mean, if you even look at the numbers of, you know, the minority of how many, you know, minorities have been arrested for possession of marijuana. It's probably a really big number.
Yes. Disproportionate.
And, yeah.
Another way of saying
it. I like that. Disproportionate.
Disproportionate.
So I read some more about David Froom's article because I wanted to find out what the fuck was he talking about and that this is going to further divide. And by the way, I don't even think it's the top one third and the bottom two thirds, as he puts it. I don't think that accurately describes it. It is, it's more like, you know, the top 1% and the bottom 99.
Right.
It's not divided into, the pie is not divided into thirds by any stretch.
No.
Yeah. Where's this guy live?
That's generous. Thanks.
So I went and read his article, and what it comes down to, he really just talks about the children. Isn't someone going to think of the children?
Oh, the children.
Oh, my God, the children.
And how he cites studies that have found that, you know, drug use for teens is bad.
Right.
Okay. And
as I was saying, drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad, because drugs are bad, okay? It's a bad thing to do drugs, so don't be bad by doing drugs, okay? That'd be bad. Drugs are bad.
He talks about how it's not good for teens. It can impair their mental skills and also reduce their IQ points as an adult from anywhere from, he says, like 6 to 8 IQ
points. Well, I mean,
IQ
haven't
points.
We established, like, between, like, 12 and 18, shouldn't be getting fucked up?
Yeah, well, actually,
on anything?
Not really, because even the he links to the study which we've referenced before that shows that there can be negative results from teens using marijuana. It can negatively impact their development and reduce their IQ when they're older. But even that study has found to be wanting for hard facts. Because they didn't weed out other things. Again, with the weed out.
Yeah. No pun intended.
They didn't incorporate...
No pun intended.
They didn't go down the path of what else these teenagers were involved in, not besides weed. Like, was right. it the weed? Like, we know that you tend to have, at least from my experience, you either have kids that don't do anything in high school like I was, or you have kids that just are down for whatever. And it probably just depends on what kind of friends you have and the availability of it.
Right.
But if you're drinking as a teenager, you probably hit a joint or two, if not be a regular smoker. These things tend to go hand in hand, as well as smoking.
Right.
When I didn't do any drugs in high school. I didn't drink at all. I didn't smoke any cigarettes, you know?
Yeah, I smoked cigarettes.
That was just the peer group that I had. So these things tend to go hand in hand. So they didn't actually try and narrow down the statistic of saying, well, was it the marijuana use, or was it the alcohol use, or the cigarette use? Were there other things that were affecting their mental development at that time? Was it overall just that they were abusing their bodies as teenagers in general? Was it the fact that maybe they were just kind of checked out of the education system in general and not really, you know, just there to get by? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No? Why are you looking at me like that then?
Because I'm still trying to decipher it in my brain.
It's processing.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like an old Mac. Making noises. You know, the game gone when you put the old floppy disk in.
He says, it's said that nobody ever died from a marijuana overdose. Nobody ever died from a tobacco overdose either. I wonder if that's true. I mean, you can OD on nicotine.
Right.
But I don't know what you'd have to do that.
Wouldn't you get asphyxiation before you'd OD?
Like fall into a vat of tobacco too?
Smoke cigarettes like Dan Aykroyd did when he was Beldar.
Yeah.
The whole pack.
Right.
But that doesn't prove tobacco safe, of course. All the dangers connected to marijuana, the most lethal risk of is the risk of automobile accident. So, marijuana-related fatal car crashes have nearly tripled across the United States in the past decade. In the past decade, how long have we had roadside tests for marijuana?
Oh.
Like, the past couple of years, yeah. And that's only in certain states? So, yeah, it's nearly tripled because we weren't testing for it before.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like something we started looking for has gone up. Right. Oh, shit.
Right. More reason to stay home.
Hide in the house.
Best way to do it.
Yeah. And not to mention that automobile accidents in Colorado are down significantly since the legalization of weed. I'm not saying there's a connection between that. I'm not saying there isn't.
You're saying people are driving better because
of
marijuana.
But it certainly doesn't point to any evidence that there's more people driving impaired.
Right.
And I'm not saying that you can't get so high that you shouldn't be behind the wheel. That is possible. You got to get pretty fucking stoned, or maybe just not, you know, maybe an inexperienced or new smoker.
I was at Stone the other day.
Yeah, no, I've been...
I didn't want to drive. I was like, oh, I got to drive home.
Absolutely. And, you know, a responsible person
doesn't. So instead
I
called Uber, and they took me home.
The negative spiral of despondency leading to marijuana use, leading to deeper and more protracted despondence, makes the present moment a particularly unpropitious one for marijuana legalization. The United States is currently recovering feebly from the gravest economic crisis since the Great Depression. Prospects for young people especially have narrowed. Are we really going to say to them, look, we haven't got jobs for you. Your chances at marriage are dwindling. You may be 30 before you can move out of your parents' place into a home of your own. But we'll make it up to you with pot, video games, and online porn. They want to start a life, but they are being offered instead only narcotic dreams.
We could talk about all of the infrastructure and opportunities that come with legalizing. I mean, just look from medical alone. All the places I go to, all these places have at least like 4 or 5 employees.
How about historically, we know that every time the economy dips and that unemployment rises, we see boom in business of pleasure when it comes to purchasing alcohol, going to the titty bar.
Right.
You know, finding ways to people the movies.
People need their dopamine fix somehow, and they're getting it.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. This is just human nature, and it's it really is like it's kind of painting a picture of government that government is not. It's not really for the government to say what it should offer in the form of entertainment or escape from your daily life. So to say like, oh, you know, we can't do much for you to improve your life. So, you know, here's some things that you can just zone out on.
Right.
That is not the government's place. How about, David, from the government should be better about trying to find ways that we can get out of our personal depression, you know, like unemployment. Or not having good enough job opportunities, or not having affordable education. One of the studies that David Frum's article was pointing to is the Rocky Mountain High. It's called It's by the organization Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. Yes.
Repeat that?
Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. This is a section of the, I guess this is a government-funded study. They put out the study, The Legalization of Marijuana in Colorado, The Impact. Maybe this is privately funded, and they just have a seal. Yeah, I think so.
Seal? Like
they just have a seal that looks very official.
Heidi Klum's ex-husband?
Kiss from a Rose?
Or like a circus seal.
So they break down, like, auto accidents and youth smoking and adult smoking.
Remember that shark ate that seal?
Yeah.
And my favorite section is emergency room marijuana admissions.
Oh, boy. Wait, hold on. I'm going to get some appropriate music for this story.
There you go. From 2011 through 2013, there was a 57% increase in marijuana-related emergency room visits. What is a marijuana-related emergency room visit?
Right.
Hospitalizations related to marijuana have increased 82% from 2008 to 2013. 2012, the city of Denver rate for marijuana-related emergency visits was 45% higher than the rate in Colorado.
Really?
So, just in Denver, it was, like, way up. 2006 to 2008, there were between 1,000 and 4,800 medical marijuana cardholders and no known dispensaries operating in Colorado. What? How does this relate to marijuana-related admissions into emergency rooms? Stop that.
Never ending. With you.
Here we go. Marijuana-related is also referred to as marijuana mentions. This means the data could be obtained from lab tests, self-admitted, or some other form of validation by the physician. That does not necessarily imply marijuana was the cause of the emergency admission or hospitalization.
So it's like I drank a bunch of beers and I smoked a joint and now I don't feel good.
Right. So why was there an increase in marijuana coming up during emergency room visits? Because it was legal.
They're looking for it now.
No, I think it's because it was legal. Because when it was illegal, you're much less likely to mention it to your doctor.
Right.
Are you on any other drugs?
Oh, yeah, I didn't say shit.
Any prescriptions?
No, yeah. I was in an emergency room a few weeks ago, and I didn't say shit about it.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Oh.
But no, I wouldn't either.
I don't need to know. That's my business.
But regardless, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are much more open about it. Well, yeah, hey, I take marijuana for chronic back pain or PTSD or something like that. They would be very open with their doctor about that because they are either a cardholder, they have a medical marijuana cardholder, or they're just purchasing it recreationally. So, yeah. Okay, here we go. David Dr. Hughes, an emergency room physician at Mercy Regional Medical Center in Durango, Colorado. He says, I see it once or twice every week. They come in, they are miserable, absolutely miserable, just writhing with repetitive vomiting. He's talking about, let's see.
What? Can I get the shit that makes me throw up?
The posh name for this marijuana-induced condition, whether from eating or smoking the drug, is cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. Cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. Since 2004, when doctors first described people suffering cyclic vomiting as a result of using marijuana, this is in Australia. Reports of the malady have spread throughout the world nearly as fast as the drug. Cyclic vomiting is a burden to the healthcare system, as it often leads to expensive diagnostic tests and ineffective treatments.
Okay, I've been around our good friend Cannabis here for a good... we're going on about 20 years now. Never heard of this shit.
No.
Ever. Never seen this shit ever.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Now, is this people making shit up? Is this people doing other things? Mixing it with things?
I'd say it sounds like it.
Hughes said many patients who had treated who he has treated for uncontrollable vomiting from marijuana, returned to his care a few weeks later, seeking help for the same problem.
Like, uncontrollable. Imagine that. Uncontrollable.
The only long-term solution to the chronic malady is to abstain from the drug. Everyone who comes in for a psych evaluation has to take a urine and drug screen. It's kind of a joke because everyone tests positive for THC in Durango.
Right.
In such a health-conscious community where gluten, red dye number 5, high fructose corn syrup are anathemas, you would think that people would recognize that cannabis isn't so wonderful and harmless.
Uncontrollable vomiting. Really? Think about that.
What, he started coughing from the bong hit and hit some Epicac? How do you uncontrollable vomiting? Never.
Like, in my experience, it calms your stomach down.
Right.
It works for nausea.
Right. It just doesn't make any sense.
It cures Ebola, all right? It can treat AIDS.
Yeah, smoke it out.
Ebola.
So, that's as far down in the rabbit hole as we need to go today. There's only so much ignorance you can come upon
right
before your brain starts to go numb.
Oh, we have a whole internet in front of us. Come on.
Where's our smoking status at?
We could find lots of ignorance.
Yeah. I don't think anything's being smoked right now.
Oh.
You got to get it right in front of there.
Nice. Oh. Aaron's got the touch. Nope. No good.
It is just too small.
Yep. Got to have a bigger one.
Yeah, well, at least it's thick.
Play that. Play the Hillary Clinton thing.
Hillary, the unknown.
She made a little joke.
Yeah, her joke is hilarious.
Rob, do you want her to be president?
No.
Why not?
I don't know, man. She seems wrong. Like, not all there.
I think she's a very intelligent person.
I don't know. I don't think any of the representatives are intelligent.
I don't know that she carries herself like a president, though.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
And I'm not saying it's because she's a woman.
No, not at all. In this day and age, if you're still tied up about woman or race, it's kind
of
like...
But that's going to be a major portion of why she is probably going to be our next president, because we're ready for some change, and that means let's give the woman a chance.
Yeah.
This is the only woman that we know could possibly be president, so let's give her a chance.
We just did black guy for 8 years. Now it's time for woman.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll be back to white male.
Old white guy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Sick. Look at this. Look at this.
She's surprised at her coffee. They made a little pig, a picture of a pig in the coffee.
Congratulations. Wow. Look at that. And look at you. You got like a plant. Is that a marijuana plant?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, it's not. It's a fucking leaf. Regular-ass leaf.
Yeah.
Drink it. I'm so excited about the pig.
Now, what?
What
do we have in here? Oh. Bill hasn't said
actually,
in a while.
It
actually kind of looked like the Rebel insignia, didn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. From Star Wars.
So,
yeah, Whoopi.
Goldberg?
Whoopi.
Do you guys hear this story about how Ebola.com is for sale?
Yeah. Opportunistic shitbag.
Yep. The domaininvesting.com. But did you hear that they sold it?
Really?
Really? To who? The CDC?
How much?
A Russian company that is apparently focused on the marijuana business.
What?
They bought Ebola.com?
Yep.
What?
Why? That makes no sense.
Wow.
Just own.
$50,000 in cash.
Scary Johnson, wow. An investment partner in this
typical
company.
Russians, $50,000.
They
in
gave
cash.
Him $50,000 in cash and almost 20,000 shares of their company, Cannabis Sativa.
That's Gary Johnson's company.
Oh, geez.
He said he was the CEO of Cannabis Sativa Incorporated.
You're right. It says Nevada-based recreational and medical marijuana company that trades on over-the-counter market prices.
That's Ebola.
Wow.
That's our boy.
Good old Ebola.
Gary Johnson.
Good old Gary.
So he purchased it and then promptly renamed it Ebola.com.
Oh, my God.
this is all from Time's website.
Oh, beautiful.
As recently as September of this year, Weed Growth Fund was known as Ovation Research, which according to this Business Week profile, is in the business of distributing stainless steel cookware products for retail and wholesale customers. What does that have to do with anything? Then on September 19th, the company filed with the Nevada Secretary of State, changing its name to Weed Growth Fund. Why would a marijuana...
You're reading the Time.com article?
Yes. Why would a marijuana company want to own the URL Ebola.com? Elliot Silver, DomainInvesting.com's publisher, asked Blue String Ventures founder John Schultz this very question. And while Schultz replied that he did not know why Weed Growth Fund wanted the domain, he did send Silver to this Marijuana.com article in which Cannabis Sativa CEO Gary Johnson, the former two-term New Mexico governor and Libertarian Party presidential candidate, claims that marijuana can be used to treat Ebola. Cannabis Sativa also did not respond to requests for comment.
Particularly with Ebola. You have a centralized government response to this problem. You can't just farm it all out to private enterprise.
No, I would agree. I think government has a fundamental role to protect us against harm. And clearly this comes in under the purview of government.
So are you critical of the government taking this role or the government's performance?
I'm not. What I'm critical of, Stuart, recently I took a position of CEO.
Which, by the way, I was listening to this today. Hold on. When I was listening to this today,
yeah.
And if you notice the question he was asked, he just makes a hard fucking left. This has nothing to do with the question that he was just asked. Yeah. And he goes into this fucking rant about
incorporated medical marijuana, recreational marijuana.
Yeah, he has an agenda. He knows what he wants to talk about.
Efficacy with regard.
And the host hopes he can get a little sanity out of him first, and now he's like, "No, right. I'm driving this conversation where I want to go," and that's. Treating Ebola with marijuana.
Wait a minute. You think that pot...
Cannabis sativa.
Medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. We actually believe we have efficacy with regard to treating Ebola.
there it is.
Ebola.
What have you been wrapping around your lighter?
Hempwick.
What the fuck is that for?
Use it for lighting bowls because of the butane. Makes the weed taste funky.
It's also the last name of his butler.
Who?
Hempwick.
Hempwick, will you please pack my bowl?
Yes, sir. Would you like the Hawaiian Snow or the Ace of Spades? A little mix of both.
Fuck, Hempwick is automatically...
It's Saturday. What do you think, Hempwick? Fucking both.
Yes, sir, you're always right.
Why is he automatically English? Oh, Hempwick.
It just sounds better. At least it doesn't sound like that dirty bastard is playing Alfred on Gotham. I had to throw that out on the air. I couldn't let it stand anymore. I had to let it go.
Have you guys been watching it?
I have.
I have not.
I watched the first half of the first episode and got kind of disgusted and turned it off.
It's not bad, but just the Alfred they picked for the show, it's horrible.
That's what really turned me off. It was like right after Alfred came out, I was like, done.
Like, I don't remember Alfred ever like giving, you know, young Master Bruce a hard time on anything. Like, I don't remember him like cock blocking him from going out and doing stuff, you know, to figure out. But at the same time, the whole storyline's messed up because they got young Bruce Wayne, like, as a kid, being a detective, finding who killed his parents. It's like,
yeah,
that, you know, really didn't start until he came back from the whole, you know,
thing. It's pre-bat.
Right.
Well, I'm not opposed to a retelling of the story. There's many different ways you can tell that same story and have all the core elements and keep the essence of the characters. I just don't know that they've successfully captured the essence of the characters.
Right. No, I agree.
That it's really just they're
like a skinny penguin. Come on.
It's not about that, though. I mean, penguin can be anything. You know, penguin can be an actual penguin. It just depends on is he the penguin?
Right.
I believe he was Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah.
I did see a clip of it. Now that I think about it, I have seen a little bit of the show.
That's not what I mean.
The essence of Penguin.
The essence. Ooda Penguin.
Yeah.
The one that I have really enjoyed, though, is Constantine. Out of any of the new batch of superhero-themed or comic book-based TV shows, of which we're going to have a flood of.
Right.
But Constantine is definitely, just from the first episode, has definitely risen above the rest of them for me.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty good. I've started watching a little bit of The Flash there, and it's okay. But Green Arrow, or
little,
the Arrow
show, too
is pretty
CW
good.
For me. And,
that took some adjusting to get to, you know, all the girly songs and the love triangles. And
it's one of the things that I love about Constantine that they keep from the comic books is his love for punk rock.
Oh, okay.
And there's characters that have, like, you know, they have like a Sex Pistols shirt, or there's pictures up and posters referencing, you know, the Ramones or the Clash. Yeah, if you're a fan of the character from the comic books, this is it. They portrayed him very well in a drama that's pretty decently acted and had a decent amount of action in it too, and interesting story.
I'll have to check that one out.
All right, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman Podcast on Facebook and following us on Twitter at TheWeedsman420. You can subscribe to the Weedsman Podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find this show on Stitcher Radio. You can now listen to a new episode of the Christopher Media Show every day of the week. Sundays, you got Eminem questioning everything. Monday, Unregimented. Tuesday, the bonus nugget. It's basically all the extra, the bullshit we stack it high on Tuesdays for you. From, you know, high people ramble.
Yep.
But, you know, we get a little bit of extra for you. And rather than not releasing it, we put it out for you. We call it the bonus nugget.
It's that stash to get you through to the weekend.
And they're fairly popular. I think it's because it's not an hour.
I dig it.
You know. But, yeah, check them out. We got the projection booth. New Kids on the Block. To us, they've been around a lot longer than us.
Yeah.
So glad to have them on board.
Yes. Remember, rewind this and just smoke to it. Aha.
Yep.
I said it right. And also, patronicity.com/orbitbook.
Check it out.
Give Rob all of your money. Take it out of your wallet and just give it to Rob. Get this book made.
$60. Get a sweet book. Get it done. Support a great guy.
Yes. And great book.
And a great book.
A great show. On a great network.
Yeah. We're all great.
Yes. And if we're lucky on a Tuesday, too, we'll get a Toddzilla X-Pod when he gets around to it. Wednesdays, we got the Oddcast with Jenna and John. Thursdays, second dose of Unregimented. Fridays, boom.
Boom.
Big Kahuna.
The weekend.
The one, the only, the Weedsman Podcast. Saturdays, you got the Captain's Table.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye, Captain.
You can subscribe to all of these shows for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. If you like what we do and you would like to support us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com. Oh, football. You ready? Tomorrow?
We'll see.
Starts 9:30 in the morning.
London.
Because they're playing in London. Our Detroit Lions.
Jolly old England.
Our first place Detroit Lions. Our number one defense.
Number one rated defense.
In the NFL, Detroit Lions. I'm saying this now while I can, people.
We're coming for you, Atlanta.
Yeah, great. We have another 8 games to go. I've seen this movie before.
We'll be all right.
I've seen this movie before. Sir.
Wait till the bye week.
I've seen. Yeah. We won't lose then either.
Right.
How's your fantasy football team doing there, Rob?
Very bad. I don't even want to talk about it.
Talk
it's
about
just
yesterday.
Bad.
It's
It's bad.
You should have a sale. You should have everything must go sale.
I wish I could sell all my players and pick them the next day.
You want to trade me a quarterback?
We'll talk. You want a mid-season redraft, Rob?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, second chance.
Yeah.
However,
second chance.
DraftKings, you don't have to have that dumpster fire of a team. You can redraft tomorrow. I drafted two teams this week. We're going to see what's going to happen. I got a new theory.
Good luck.
I got a new strategy. We're going to see. I'm not going to tell you what that strategy is, because if it works, everyone steals
You'll
my
never
shit.
Know.
Yeah. Right.
You only hear about it if it doesn't work.
But DraftKings.com, Daily Fantasy Sports League. No season-long commitments. You can enter free or paid contest and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you'll get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com. Okie dokie. And on that note, stay high.
Stay high.
Rob pointed to the sky in that one.
That's why. Stay high. Stay high.
Shoot you to the sky.
Stay high.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.